John chapter 17. We'll begin reading with verse 11. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. Thank you for this time you've given us to assemble and worship you this morning. Thank you for those homes that are represented here this morning in your sanctuary. And Lord, we just have come to worship you today, and Lord, we pray that everything that we say and do this morning will bring honor and glory to you, Lord. We want to worship you in true worship, spirit and truth. And Lord, may everything that we do, again, glorify you, praise you, and honor you, Lord. Lord, you've heard the prayer requests that have been spoken. Pray, Lord, that your will be done with those requests. Now, as I break the bread of life, I pray you'll bless it. You'll give me the words to say and bring back to my memory those things you've laid upon my heart. To speak to your people. May your congregation be fed the word of God. May they be edified. And Lord, we pray if there's one amongst us that doesn't know you, that this morning would be the day they open up their heart and receive Jesus as their Savior before it's too late. Again, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for this time we have to come together. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This passage takes place the last night Jesus is here on earth. He's on his way to the cross. In fact, him and the disciples are on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. But before he gets there, he prays this prayer of what we just read. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus had a lot on his mind. First of all, he knew that he was going to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. That was on his mind. Could you imagine knowing you were going to die? And not only that, on his mind was the children of Israel literally were going to reject him as their Messiah. Came into his own received him not. So he's going to die. The people he came for completely have rejected Him, want nothing to do with Him. And then, thirdly, while He had all of that going, He was fixing to have a battle in the Garden of Gethsemane with Satan himself. The toil it took on Him. The Bible says that when He prayed, it was as great drops of blood. See, He was in a battle with Satan for us. And with all of that going on, I want you to understand, we were on His mind also. He still had time to pray for us. And beloved, what a Savior. And by the way, He didn't just pray for us there in John 17 before He got to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 7 that He still is there making intercession. In other words, He's still praying for us today. I'm glad He prays for me because I need it. How about you? Amen. But I want to speak to you for just a few minutes about when Jesus prayed for His people, because there's a lot here that we can glean. It tells us what He kind of expects of us. You see, if you'll start with John chapter 14 and go on through, you'll see that Jesus is trying to prepare the disciples. You see, He's trying to teach them about salvation. He's trying to teach them about the work of the Holy Spirit. He's trying to teach them about what He expects from them in serving Him. You see, He was leaving them in a world that had no clue. In a world that hated Him. And they hated them. And He's trying to prepare them. And I tell you, if you'll study, you know, if there's only one book of the Bible, we could only have one book out of the Bible, I'd want the book of John. That would be the, because it tells me everything I need to know. Now, it all tells us, all of it, but that one book. So with that said, let's get into it. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. He says, and now Jesus is praying for you and me. He says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. And let me stop, I had to. God is the only Holy Father. Not a Pope. Not Pope Francis. Not Pope Benedict. Not Pope John. No, there's only one Holy Father, and that's our God. And man better be careful in calling men Holy Father. We're warned about that. Call no man Father. But He says, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those that Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. Look at verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I have kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. I want you to understand, the first thing He wants them to understand is, God's people are secure when it comes to their salvation. When you come to Christ, you are saved not just for a little while, not just till you stub your toe in sin. You are saved forever. It is everlasting life. Understand this morning that He wants them to understand that they are secure in Him. Beloved, how would you like to go through life having to keep yourself safe? Think about that just for a moment. None of us can do it, sister. We, according to the Word of God, are kept by the power of God. Amen. Now, let me ask you a question. Who's stronger than God? So if we're kept by the power of God, then that means you and I can never, ever lose our salvation. But you better make sure you have it. Amen? So He's wanting them to understand that they are secure. He's lost no one. Now, if one person could fall from grace, then that would make Jesus a liar. Jesus don't lie, y'all. Amen? So, notice what he says. And by the way, John, I love how John tells us there in chapter 10 that there is absolutely no man that can pluck us out of his hand or God the Father's hand. Now, beloved, if you want insurance and assurance, there you go. I know us Baptists have a bad, oh, you folks believe you can live any old way you want to. Well, see, here's the difference. I don't live any old way I want to. Because I got that taken care of when I gave my heart to Jesus. I want to please the Lord. I want to live for the Lord. Now, I'm not perfect. I sin every day. You say, how do you sin? Do you go to a bar? Do you go to a club? Do you? No, I don't do that stuff. But you know what? Every now and then the old devil will put a bad thought in my mind. Someone will cut me off on Craig Road and I want to say something I shouldn't. Amen? I sin every day, and so do you. But I am kept by the power of God. I am secure in Christ. And the Lord has got a pretty good record. He's not lost one person. Those that God gave Him, and that's all of us that have received Him as our Savior, we're kept by the Lord's power. Now, not only does He talk about them being secure, but look at verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. He's talking about satisfaction now. He's talking about joy. Now, I'm going to teach y'all a little lesson this morning. There is a difference between joy and happiness. You see, happiness always depends upon circumstances. But joy comes from the Lord. And that joy, knowing that we have Him and what He's placed in our heart, is so wonderful. You see, you can watch TV, and they're always talking about things that bring you happiness. Oh, if you have a Ford, you'll be happy. Well, that's partly true. Hush. Hush. But they've advertised that'll make you happy. If you wear a certain kind of suit or buy a Louis Vuitton purse or whatever, it'll bring you happiness. If you wear a certain kind of makeup, it'll bring you happiness. And beloved, again, happiness and joy are two different things. You see what joy truly is? It's called contentment. What I mean by that is, it's joy in a believer's life when that body is raged by cancer that still has a smile on their face, and you know what? They're not crying, complaining, but they have that joy. It's joy that comes only from the Lord. When a saved loved one is called home to glory, that we say, praise God. They're home. That's joy. It's joy in the believer when we face all kinds of circumstances and we're able to say, you know what? It's going to be okay. That's joy. And again, contentment is what joy is. In fact, I think it's 1 Timothy. Turn over there. Make sure I'm right. 1 Timothy 6:6. Is that it? I think so. 1 Timothy. Turn your Bibles, y'all. Probably, for some of you, the only time you picked it up this week. Did you say that, Pastor? Yeah, I did. I was right. But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Boy, it'd be nice if God's people were satisfied. I would imagine the Lord would like to see a little contentment in His people. Instead of moaning and groaning. Amen. Woe is me. Folks, godliness. Contentment's great gain. Go back to our text. Look at verses 14. And I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Notice, he wants us to be separated. He's praying about their separation. You see, God's word says, come out from amongst them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. And he wants us to not be of the world. Now, I'm here to tell you, it's not easy because we live in a sinful, wicked world. But I want you Baptists to understand something this morning. We say, oh, well, we might as well just give up. There ain't no need in trying. We can't do it. Well, I want to shake you this morning and say, what Bible have you been reading? You see, God has equipped us to be able to handle any situation we come across, though that we are separated from the world. He's not going to remove you and me from the world, but He's going to empower us to overcome the world. Because while we depend upon Him and allow the Spirit of God to move in our life, you know what? It empowers us and increases our faith, our dependence on Him, and it also shows the lost world God's real. You see, He has given us and equipped us with things we'll need that will help us with our separation in the world. You see, He's given us power over temptation. Boy, average Baptists don't know what to do with that. You see, He says He's made a way of escape. And there's no temptation overtaking us that's so great that we can't escape from it. So He's given us that power. He's also given us power over the tempter. You say, who's the tempter? Well, the devil, y'all. James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, submit yourself therefore to God. Notice that's the key. Submitting yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. He'll run away. And I'm going to tell you, you better submit to God. Don't take him on in your own strength and power. You'll get your tail whipped. Amen? But he says, submit to God. And then resist the devil. You see, what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is God has left us things to empower us to make it through the world and not give in to the world. You see, our problem today, the modern church's problem today is we act like the world, look like the world, do as the world. And then we wonder why people don't want to come to church. We wonder why people don't believe what we say when we tell them, oh, I'm a Christian. Because we talk like them, walk like them, act like them. And he's talking about he wants us to be separated. And let me just say, before I move on, he tells us about the devil. The devil would like nothing more than to trip us up and ruin our testimony. He says to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But listen, the Apostle Paul also told us believers that we are not ignorant to Satan's devices. And if we're in tune with the Spirit of God and God's Word, He won't catch us off guard. Amen? Now, notice what else He says. Verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now that word sanctify, sanctification means to be set apart for God's service. And it means to be purified. We should be purified. And that's what sanctification is. But you say, well, preacher, how does sanctification come about? How are we to be sanctified? Through the Word of God and through prayer. Those things cleanse us. You see, the cleansing of the Word of God, according to Ephesians chapter 5, is what sanctifies us for being set apart for God's service. You see, when we are in the Word, and by the way, did you like what Jesus said about the Word? It's the truth. Thy Word is truth. And what it does is it cleanses us. You see, as we get into the Word of God and we study it, and we learn from it, what it does is it points out those areas in our lives where we're failing God. And when we see those areas and we adhere to the Word of God and we ask God to help us in those areas, guess what? Then the Master can use us for His service. Now, we're all still a work in progress. We're not going to have full sanctification till we're up there. But oh, while we're here, we can still be used of the Master. You see, Timothy tells us over there that there are vessels of honor that the Master uses. Listen to me. There's vessels that are not clean and the Master ain't ever going to use. Doesn't mean you're lost, but it does mean if you're going to be used of God, you have to be a vessel of honor to be used. And again, that ties into sanctification, being set apart for God's service. So you see, as Jesus is praying for us, He's talking about our dedication to Him, our security, our sanctification, our separation, and our satisfaction. Then He goes to our duty. Look at verse 20. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one. I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. How many times did we read the word one? One. One. You think unity is important? When it comes to God's people, His church, there must be unity. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes we trip and stub our toe when it comes to unity. Notice, Jesus is praying for us that we would be one in Him as He is in the Father, and that we would be one with another. Beloved, listen to me. We're people. We're all different. God made us all different. We have different likes, dislikes, personalities. We're all different. But when it comes to the body of Christ, we should have everything in common. Everything. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we need to work on a few things. First of all, we need to learn to be agreeable. We got too much disagreeable in the Lord's house. Amen? Well, I don't like that color. Okay, you don't like that color. You're entitled to your opinion. But if the majority wants that color, that's the color we have to have. Don't be moaning and groaning, griping, complaining, and don't be over here telling the group here. Amen? We need to be in unity. Can I ask you something? Most people don't know this. And it's taken me a while. It has. Went on 34 years. I'm slow. But you understand that we, the Lord's church, the body of Christ, Lone Mountain Baptist Church, is a walking advertisement for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Either people in the world see the Lord or they see chaos, strife. Either they see love or they see animosity. And why in the world it's taken us so long to understand that, I don't get it. But we are an advertisement for Him. And we should get along. That's the problem. The reason most churches closed down is because somebody got mad at somebody else. Well, we'll just go down the street. If you're in Arkansas, we'll just go down the corner, build another church. You're First Baptist, we're Second Baptist. Amen? That's how it is. And then you run that preacher off, he starts Third Baptist. Or he goes back to First Baptist. Folks, He wants us to be one in unity. But He also wants us to love. As the Father loves Him and He loves the Father and He loves us, He wants us to love. What that means is, I don't put myself first anymore. I put you first. I love you. And I love you because He loves me. And when you mess up, I forgive you. When you trespass or sin against me, I forgive you. Because Christ has forgiven me. But we got that backwards too. Jesus may have forgiven you, but I can't. Well, you better fall on your knees and ask God to forgive you. You better make sure you're saved. Because what were we before Jesus saved us? We were unforgivable, weren't we? But yet, He loved us and forgave us. So you better be careful. Now I want to hear some pages in the Bible. Kind of rattle because it makes me feel good. Because I know you're turning pages in the Bible at least. You're getting your spiritual exercise for the week, some of you. So I'm going to give you some scriptures we're going to look at. I wrote them down. Because I know a few of them by memory, but the older I get, here's some scriptures I want us to look at. All right. I'm going to ask Brother Rich, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and read verse 10. Brother Travis, Philippians 1:27. Brother Bob, Philippians 2:1-4. Brother Bill Wagner, 1 Peter 3:8. And preacher, 1 Thessalonians 5:13. First Corinthians 1:10, brother. Amen. Brother Travis, Philippians 1:27. Amen. Brother Bob, Philippians 2:1-4. Amen. Brother Bill, 1 Peter 3:8. Thank you, brother. Preacher, 1 Thessalonians 5:13. 5:13, yes, sir. Amen. Think about what we've just read there. All those scriptures deal with unity in the body. And it must be pretty important because it's repeated over and over and over again. So I would encourage you, Lone Mountain Baptist Church, that we all be in agreement when it comes to being in unity and one accord. Also be in agreement in loving one another. Amen? We should love one another. 1 John 3:10-14. Brother Roger, would you read that for me? Brother Bill Custer, read 1 John 4:20-21. Brother Roger, 1 John 3:10-14. 10-14. Thank you, brother. Go ahead. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Brother Bill, chapter 4. Correct. So what's our calling card? Called love, L-O-V-E. We love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another. So we got to be in unity, be willing to forgive, and we also must love one another. And that's what he's praying for. I'm so thankful for the prayer he offered for his people. Amen. Now, go back to our text. Verses 25 and 26, and I'll jump to 24 in a minute. He says, O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Again, love. You and I should be in love with each other. I'll jump up. I know I skipped verse 24, but I did that for a reason. Let's read it. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Woo, I like that. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. Notice he's praying about their destination. You see, He says, Father, I want them to be with me so that they may see my glory. Now, beloved, in the Greek there's a word called thelo, and it means purpose. It's talking about the will of God. You know, God has certain wills. God, in fact, there's two wills. He's got a will that whatever it is going to come to pass no matter what. And then he's got a will that he wills that something be good, but sometimes under circumstances beyond his control, it doesn't pan out. But here, what Jesus is saying here in the 24th verse is this. He says, Father, it is my purpose, my will, that those that you have given me, those that have come to me for salvation, that they be with me in heaven. That's what he's saying. It's his will. And his will is going to be done. Understand, when it comes to heaven, we know it's a prepared place for prepared people, but we cannot do any true justice to the description of heaven, because eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither have entered into the heart and thoughts of men those things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But I do know this about heaven, and this is why I can hardly wait to get there. One, me and you, when we are called out of this life, either through death or the rapture, we're going to a place where Jesus is the light. Oh, I look forward to that. And not only is Jesus the light there, the Word of God describing heaven tells me that God the Father will be in the midst of His people. Means Pastor John Richardson ain't going to be in a shack 1,200 miles from that glorious city. I'm not going to be in the back row. You're not going to be in the back row. He's going to be in the midst of all of us. If that don't make you want to go home, what is wrong with you? If you're saved, you should want to go. And I will say, we're going to get there one day. I think a lot sooner than a lot of people think. At least that's my prayer. But He promises that where He is, we're going to be there also. Oh, that's what gets me up in the morning. Because I woke up this morning, in fact. Hey, this could be the day the Lord comes back. This could be the day that I'm home. And let me just say, when He says that where I am, there you'll be also. Home! That's what heaven is, home for us that believe. I'm thankful. And I'll close. I'm thankful for the prayer that Jesus offered on that night for you and me. It wasn't just for the 11 disciples. It was for all of us, you and me. He was praying for you and me. And He's still praying for you and me. And sinner friend, if you're here this morning, understand this. Jesus is praying that you will be saved. He's praying that you'll receive Him to your heart as your Savior. And He will save you if you'll just come. Surrender. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Best I know how, I believe. You came into the world, you went to the cross, you died for my sins. On the third day, you rose again. And best I know how, I believe it with all my heart. Save me. That's how easy it is. And He made it easy because He knows us. Thank God it's easy. What if we had to do this and that, this and that. Nobody would be going home. But because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross, we have a home. Those of us that are His. And we're going to be with Him. Talking about assurance. But only those of us that have come to Him have that. Send a friend, you don't have it, but you can. Just ask. I thank God for His prayer on my behalf. I'm thankful through that prayer that one day I'm going to arrive at my destination. And there's only two destinations, by the way. Heaven, hell. Your choice. Come to the Lord. If God's dealing with your heart, child of God, maybe there's some areas in your life you need to work on. If He's speaking to you, come and talk to Him. Let Him show you those areas. The bottom line is this. He's coming. Are you going? That's the bottom line. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. And we thank You for the Word. Thank You for allowing me the privilege of